Welcome to the show. I want to start with a question for everyone listening. What if I told you there's a silent, invisible war being waged inside your head at this very moment?
It's a powerful thought, isn't it? Not a war of ideas, but a literal biological one.
Exactly. And the soldiers on the front line are these tiny, mysterious cells that most of us have never even heard of. They're called microglia. And for me, this topic is, is deeply personal. I've seen firsthand how devastating neurodegenerative diseases can be, and you're always left wondering, what is actually happening in there?
What's the unseen battle that leads to these changes we can see?
And from my perspective, as a storyteller, the concept is just completely captivating. The idea that these microscopic guardians, these silent whisperers in the brain, can shape our thoughts, our moods, our very personality. It's the kind of stuff you'd write into a sci-fi thriller, but it's real and it's happening inside all of us.
That's what we're here to unravel today. We're going to pull back the curtain on these silent whisperers. We'll be diving into their world, exploring how they protect our brains, but also how, when things go wrong, they can fuel the fire of neuroinflammation.
And we're going to explore what the latest research is telling us, which frankly is rewriting the rulebook on everything from Alzheimer's to depression. It's a journey into the brain's hidden immune system, and it's going to change the way you think about your own mind. So let's get into it.
And that's the crux of it, really. For decades, the scientific community saw these cells as, well, as little more than the brain's cleanup crew, just passive janitors sweeping up debris after an injury.
Right. The first responders, but not the main characters in the story, but this shift in understanding. It's like discovering the butler in a mystery novel wasn't just polishing the silver. He was secretly directing the entire plot.
Exactly. This idea that they have this dual nature. On one hand, they are these incredible guardians. They're not just cleaning, they're actively pruning synapses, fighting off invaders. They even proliferate on-site when there's trouble. They have to, right? Because the blood-brain barrier makes it so hard to get reinforcements from the rest of the body.
So they're a self-sufficient, in-house security force. That makes sense. They're constantly patrolling, keeping things in order. So what happens when the security guards go rogue?
That is the million-dollar question. And one of the biggest triggers, it seems, is simply time. Aging. Think about it as a lifetime of tiny accumulating insults to the brain. Minor damage, small infections, things that happen to all of us.
Oh, so it's not one big event, but more like a slow burn?
A very slow burn. Each time they respond, it puts a little strain on them. Over the years, this chronic low-level activation can transform them. They become enlarged, constantly on edge. The research even has a term for some of them, dystrophic microglia.
Dystrophic? That sounds broken. It doesn't just sound like they're activated anymore. It sounds like they're malfunctioning.
That's one theory. Their structure literally changes. Their little branches, the parts they use to sense the environment, they become fragmented, twisted.
They're not just overactive. They might be deteriorating. And here's the really tricky part for researchers.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Under a microscope, it's incredibly difficult to distinguish a cell that's activated and ready to fight from one that's dystrophic and starting to fail. The line gets blurry.
Wow. So the very cells meant to protect the brain might be decaying with age. And in that process of decay, they could actually be contributing to diseases like Alzheimer's. Instead of putting out the fire, they start fanning the flames.
Fanning the flames is the perfect way to put it, because they don't just stop working. They start actively producing their own arsenal.
They begin pumping out these potent inflammatory molecules called cytokines. Think of it as the security team deciding the best way to handle a loiterer is to start throwing Molotov cocktails into the crowd.
Wait, so they're releasing, what, poisons? Into the brain?
In a way, yes. Molecules like tumor necrosis factor alpha, TNF-alpha, which in the short term can be helpful.
But when they're chronically released by these dysfunctional microglia, they become incredibly toxic to neurons. It's friendly fire.
The very cells meant to protect the neurons start killing them.
That is terrifying. So this brings us back to Alzheimer's. The classic story is about the buildup of amyloid plaques. Where do these rogue microglia fit into that picture? Are they failing to clean up the plaques, or is it something else?
That's the debate that's completely shifting the field. For a long time, the idea was that their failure to phagocytose, to eat up the amyloid beta, was the problem. They just weren't doing their janitorial job.
Okay, so they're just overwhelmed, incompetent.
But A newer, more compelling thought is that the microglia are responding to the plaques, but they're responding badly. They see the plaque, they go on high alert, and they start carpet bombing the area with those cytokines I mentioned. And in doing so, they cause massive collateral damage to the surrounding healthy synapses and neurons.
Oh, wow. So the plaque might just be the trigger, the thing that draws the angry mob, but the mob itself is what's actually tearing down the neighborhood.
Precisely. The neurodegeneration we see, the loss of memory, it might be driven more by this chronic, self-sustaining neuroinflammation than by the plaques themselves. The plaque is the spark, but the microglia become the raging fire.
So this whole time we've been trying to figure out how to get rid of the plaques. And maybe the real target should have been trying to, calm down the microglia?
It's a huge paradigm shift. And it gets worse because it becomes a feedback loop. The cytokines damage the neurons. The dying neurons then release their own distress signals, which, you guessed it.
Mm-hmm. Makes the microglia even angrier.
And the cycle just accelerates. It's a low-grade, simmering war that slowly, over years, grinds the brain down.
It's incredible. And it explains so much, like why people who regularly take non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs have shown a lower risk of developing Alzheimer's. It's not that the ibuprofen is doing anything to the plaques. It's tamping down the brain's own over-the-top immune response.
And that's the hope, isn't it? If we've been aiming at the wrong target for 50 years. It's both a devastating thought for all the time lost, but also incredibly optimistic. Because calming an immune response feels solvable. More solvable somehow than trying to reverse decades of plaque buildup.
It reframes the entire narrative. The villain of the story wasn't this inert, concrete-like plaque. The villain was a civil war, an overzealous police force, and that changes everything. It's not just about cleanup, it's about de-escalation.
De-escalation therapy for the brain. I love that. And it leads to the big, lingering question for everyone listening to this, which is, okay, so what do we do? We can't all just start popping ibuprofen for the next 40 years, so how do we, keep our microglia happy?
Right. How do we keep the security guards from getting paranoid and trigger-happy in the first place?
Well, and this is where it gets really fascinating. The research is pointing towards things we've suspected for years but never really knew the mechanism behind. Things like exercise.
Oh, so it's not just about heart health?
Not at all. Studies are showing that consistent aerobic exercise can actually decrease the proliferation of microglia. It seems to lower the expression of those inflammatory genes we were talking about. It literally calms them down. It recruits anti-inflammatory forces and tells the brain's immune system to stand down from high alert.
So a good run isn't just clearing your head in a metaphorical sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally helping to put out these tiny inflammatory fires inside your skull. That's an incredibly powerful thought. It gives us a sense of agency.
It does. It's not just about waiting for a miracle drug. It's about managing the environment that these cells live in. Diet, sleep, stress. All these things we intuitively know are important.
Mm-hmm.
They likely play a direct role in modulating this neuroinflammatory response.
So the story we've been telling ourselves about brain health, that it's all about genetics and luck, is incomplete. The real story is that we have these microscopic guardians, and we have a say in whether they remain our protectors or become our enemies.
I think that's the perfect way to look at it. We're not just passive observers of our own brain's decline. We are active participants in its defense. And understanding these silent whisperers, the microglia, is the first step in learning how to fight that war effectively.
What an incredible journey this has been, from janitors to guardians to potential saboteurs. And finally, to allies we can learn to work with. It really does change everything.
It really does. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the brain's hidden world.
It's been a pleasure. Join us next time as we continue to explore the frontiers of the mind. Stay curious, everyone.